How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
Folks looking for now.
No.
Oh, no. Talk about payback. It was cinder blocks that Rollins and Kane used to try to end Dean Ambrose's career. Dean Ambrose going to try to end Rollins' career tonight.
What's going on?
Oh, my God! It's Bray Wyatt! What a... A wary eye on Bray Wyatt has now covered Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins has beaten Dean Ambrose. The Eater of Worlds has returned.
We are recording on Halloween night, and it is most appropriate that we start with just a minor scare. That we've managed to go 348 episodes. I hope that scares a few other podcasts out there. But you know us as the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and at the table tonight you're going to see a few familiar faces. We'll start with the one all the way on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
Yes, happy Halloween to all Americans. And yes, we actually had Halloween yesterday, so I get to relive it twice!
Let's see. We also have here the man who bobs for Big Apples, Jason Block.
Yes, I may bob for Big Apples, but you see, I have a very big Halloweeny. So there you go. Sorry, just had to be said.
Whoa!
Only because I wasn't next to the soundboard, although I'll have somebody plug it back in, VRM.
As soon as I get all my RPI stuff away, it's like, alright, do I actually go up to school tomorrow for the Union game or not? Rivalry weekend. Which we won the first game tonight! Yeah!
Yay!
So, but let us turn the Wayback Machine to this past Sunday and the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view match, which the pay-per-view itself was actually pretty good. I didn't think it was a home run, but Shane, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I was ecstatic when I found out that Ambrose Rollins was the actual main event. Those two did not disappoint at all. Obviously, a few things that obviously could have been tweaked a little bit, but oh well, you get that.
Now, Jason, you actually, I had to calm you down a little bit when you and your father had finished watching the show.
Yeah, because I didn't understand it, but then when you explained it and you said the magic word, continuity, it made sense. So,
and I'm going to do this out of order because I want to explain this to our listening audience. The number threes lost their minds when Ambrose did not get his complete vengeance, even though he managed to put Rollins through a table, drag his skinny ass off a gurney, and throw him in the cage where they threw everything else at each other, but he didn't get to pin Rollins. Because the lights went out. And a wild Bray Wyatt appears. He uses hologram first, which was actually a damn good effect for him.
Yeah, that was... I want to know how they did that. Did they have, like, a little projector inside the... Actually, it sort of looks like they had, like, a hole cut through the ring to project the smoke, and they projected it onto the smoke, almost.
There's got to be... I don't know exactly how it was done, but it translated beautifully on TV.
Yeah, and there are very tiny projectors now that are full HD.
Right, it's something that could easily fit underneath the ring and could be put together. The only thing that they had to worry about was smuggling Wyatt out there, because there's no way they're gonna have him sit under the ring
for 3 hours.
No, they won't do. They don't do that to guys that do the hide under the ring thing until it is their time. He jumps out. He hugs Dean. Does a little damage. Gives him the spider walk. And a Sister Abigail for good measure. The icing on the cake, Shane, was the fact that Rollins is like, what? Happened.
Rollins definitely sold it beautifully. I do know. I myself was like, what the? But then when you said, as soon as you said the word continuity, then it all made sense.
Because Wyatt, even though he doesn't have his two monsters with him, They never really finished their beef with the Shield from the beginning of the year that spawned some amazing matches.
Royal Rumble for this year, if I remember.
Elimination Chamber.
Which was even better in person, hearing a This Is Awesome chant before the damn bell rang.
Several matches on Raw.
So, yes, please. Because we knew that the static with Rollins and Orton was going to have to be dealt with. And a happy, scary Dean between the slowly face-turning Orton and Orton 10 years later in Seth Rollins. Just for the fact that, no, seriously, Rollins said on SmackDown, take a look at greatness, and he didn't slip off the ropes. I didn't mean to interrupt you, VRM. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was sort of like the trying to put Dean in, shoehorn Dean to keep him in the feud with Rollins as they were starting the Orton feud. It was sort of like them trying to shoehorn Cena into the Rollins, into the Rollins Ambrose feud. It was just sort of natural progression was going on. And and I actually did like the way that they brought the pay-per-view to an end. And you made my argument better by mentioning the continuity factor, because I was like, you can break with the ending of that pay-per-view, you can break the Rollins Ambrose feud clean, with Cena, then yeah, of course, play it.
Oh. You mean this?
Yeah, Cena beating Orton and Orton not getting any help, it lays the groundwork, and then also of course the curb stomp from last week also helped with that. Lays the groundwork for the Rollins Orton feud. You can get a monsters feud going between Ambrose and Bray, and now we have dueling chibis with Happy Scary Dean and Creepy Scary Bray.
Run, Dean. Run. Sorry, I love that. Love it.
But it's like...
Go ahead.
It's like the ending of the pay-per-view, it made storyline sense, which you don't hear me say that a lot about anything. But it was like... Set up a clean breaks, clean setups for the next feuds going into Survivor Series, although, like we were afraid of with Survivor Series, Brock's not wrestling, and Cena's...
Stuck.
Yeah.
Stuck.
Cena, at this point, is stuck, because he may have won the battle against Orton, but he's losing the war against the Authority. With Ziggler as the first victim. I was kind of waiting. Actually, Jason, I was kind of waiting for Ziggler to get on the mic and just say, we were talking about football.
Yeah. Patriots Browns or something, you know?
Yeah. I was just like, I wasn't talking to him about the frickin' Survivor Series team. But he got killed multiple times.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but do you also know who also got killed this week? Cesaro!
His own damn fault. That is his own damn fault.
Even though he's right, you don't say it in the press. That's what you're saying. Even though he's right.
Cesaro essentially made the comments that, you know, he's happy to see all these up-and-comers, but we're still seeing Cena Orton.
For the 500th time. Oh, boy.
Cesaro, this is why you lost in two straight falls on Sunday. And this is why Dean Ambrose got to double suplex you in a skeleton.
I'm sorry, but I'm one of those people that just has to call bullshit with that, because it's just them stating facts. I mean, if you're a superstar, of course you're going to get frustrated with the fact that you're seeing the same match over and over again when it's like, hey, that's my spot being taken. That's why Ziggler's probably there shaking his head like, oh shit, I made the same mistake. He's probably going to give Cesaro a pat on the back. It's okay, buddy. You're in my house now.
Well, no, it's Ziggler going up to Cesaro and saying, dude, give it 6 months, keep your trap shut, and, you know, they'll let you back up the ladder like they're letting me right now.
See, here is the thing, Shane. Let me explain it. And it's a double-edged sword. When you go out to promote, you have to toe the company line. Even though you may be eating, you know, the crap sandwich, you've got to stay the company line. That's why Ziggler got boned for 6 months. And that's why Cesaro is now.
Essentially, Shane, whoever you're working for, you should never badmouth them, even if it's true.
Oh, but he wasn't technically, like, that's what I'm saying. Neither Ziggler nor Cesaro were bad-mouthing the company. They were just bad-mouthing the two supposed faces of the company. Well, Cena actually is
bad-mouthing the faces is bad-mouthing the direction of the company, which is bad-mouthing the company, which leads to Squash Central.
Oh, well.
If you're working and you post on Facebook, my boss is a dick, they actually have recourse to say, you know, we can punish you for that. Freedom of speech and all, but I know of companies that have warned their employees, you watch what you freaking say on social media, because we're watching you.
And the thing is that is a lot of companies, not just specifically, you know, a certain company, Nikki, you may know, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that large companies are keeping an eye on that. So, you know, you can't badmouth your boss. Much as, even if you're right, even if it's true, and even if you can back it up, you're bad-mouthing a company. So Cesaro, you know, essentially, you know, found a way to stand on one foot and put the other one in his mouth and chew vigorously.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he was wearing a pumpkin at the end of SmackDown. A few other things happened. We had the Dusts beat the Usos for the nth time. We had Nikki winning over Brie in the Hoosier Bitch match. And the crowd goes mild. Sheamus retained over Miz, which disappoints me. But the post-match duphosity was well worth it.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Young man. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Young man.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. We need another sound effect.
Oh, my God. Needless to say, it was a command performance.
Anyway. Oh, no. No way. Whoa. Yeah.
Even in defeat, Sandow still outshone them all. That might be just my bias. Let's see. Rusev, as expected, beat Big Show. AJ was pretty much expected to beat Paige. I'm sorry, Shane.
Which brings us to the spreadsheet.
Yes. Unfurl the spreadsheet, VRM, and tell us the damage. Actually, I got to hear this.
Alright, first of all, the big damage, no one got a wild card at all, because Mark Henry didn't turn on the Big Show until Raw, the Authority didn't help Orton at all, Rollins didn't get RKO'd out of nowhere until Raw, there was no blood, at least no discernible blood, in the main event, and although the Wyatts did return, they didn't return and attack the tag team champions.
Damn it.
So, here is the damage. In last place, with 4.5, we have Mr. Brian Henniger.
Who makes a fetching referee, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Up next, tied at 5 points, we have 4th, Tyler and myself. At 6 points all alone is Nikki.
But that's the middle of the frickin' pile.
Yeah, middle of the pile. At 7 points, we have Josh, Jason, and Shane. At 7.5 points, because he flushed the Uso getting pinned, we have Jim.
Oh, no. No.
Jason. And with the... Actually, can we call it? Can we call it that, even though we missed the wild card?
Yeah, but what I was going to say is that Jim flushed on the tag match, and that's really going to stick in his craw. Get well soon, Jim.
But can we call it a perfecta, even though we missed the wild card?
Yeah, because it's he got all the matches right.
Yeah, and with the perfecta, 10 points and is it new? I don't know who has it.
I think he's sole champion regardless.
Yeah, and NAWC Fizzleweight Champion, Chief High Muckety Muck, Mr. Carl Chenier.
Wow! Holy cow!
Congrats, boss.
A perfecta. Holy shit!
And I don't mind I gotta say that Jim got kidnapped by Derpy's orthodontics today.
That's my comment about his score sticking in his craw.
Oh man!
Seriously, get well soon, buddy.
Yeah, we're holding out.
How the hell did I get a perfecta? I don't know.
I don't know. That's the first perfecta in a while.
Yeah, and that's Stat Boy's shtick. You realize you're gonna have to answer to him for that. But still, it was a good pay-per-view. The continuity and feud switching was masterful, so all you number threes can go to hell.
Ooh! Whoa!
I think Nikki's a bit upset because Lol Cena wins, Lol Cena wins.
No, no, hold on. Let's talk about that for a sec. The Cena-Orton match was pretty fucking awesome. Sorry.
No. Surprisingly, that's not what they're complaining about.
You would think out of everything that's all I constantly complain about, but now it's like, oh shit, why attack the Ambrose? Everyone goes mental.
The Orton Cena match was probably an apology for their one from Prudential Center back in 2009.
Yes, it was. I was very satisfied with the Orton Cena cell match because they knew, since they weren't main eventing, they had to make sure it was at least remotely memorable, and B, they had to apologize for sleepwalking through a cell match. There is no excuse for sleepwalking or phoning in a cell. And for that, the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, should have just demoted Orton. But we did something else. We're going to make him do something that he probably didn't want to do, which was turn face.
Oh, but come on. I'm sorry. Anyone that's got a problem with that, I'm sorry. I loved Orton's promo on Monday. That was frigging awesome.
It's nice to see Orton trying. I'm happy for that. I really am. You guys know how much I like Orton and that I would prefer him under somebody else's boots. But it's kind of neat just watching Rollins stick the dagger in Orton going, hey, how do you like it now? How do you like it now?
I'm touching you.
Yeah. I'm touching you, and you can't do anything about it because I'll stick the evil doc on you. If that doesn't work, I'll stick Kane on you. Oh, yeah. If that doesn't work, I'll stick Stephanie on you.
but what Orton said, I don't know if you can consider it breaking the fourth wall moment, but when he went in that promo and said, I'm going to go to anger management for real this time, like I did last time back in 2000. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, I jumped out of my chair.
He's gone nuts.
He's gone nuts and he's so crazy he's called continuity.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing was is that Orton showed passion, showed energy, showed fire. It was good because we have no faces, so we needed him for the moment.
We needed faces, and we're still kind of working on that. The Mizdow thing is simmering nicely.
That was also very good on the pre-show. They tested the waters there on the Hell in a Show pre-show.
Basically
saying, oh, you know, you're the best stunt double I have, or something like that.
This little thing about my best friend.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So we had, you know, yes, we need faces, and somebody turned Mark Henry.
Oh, yeah, we got faces, right? And then apparently Mr. Ryback got some amnesia, and he's like, oh, I don't hate the Feed Me More chance anymore. Jesus.
Okay, first of all, I am a very happy Nikki that we've got 2012 Ryback back. He should have never turned heel in the first place.
Some of the fans, they just got straight back into it. The crowd, you can just hear the crowd going off with it.
Well, first of all, they did the right thing and let him kill Bo Dallas, which will make anybody face. But the fact that they brought back Feed Me More, he was doing his whole shtick. I popped. I thought it was awesome. But then again, I'm also slightly biased for the big guy. VRM, what did you think when you heard Feed Me More Monday night?
I actually turned it on in the middle. I was like, whoa, wait, Ryback's back? I was watching Tony Romo walk off with a...
With a
back injury.
Oh, bruised pride. Okay.
No. As you heard on the BS Big Show, plug, Tony Romo got his behind kicked. I mean, he was hit all night by the Washington professional football team. excuse me. That's a joke. That's an in-joke on the BS Big Show. Trust me. Okay?
Yes, it is.
That's okay. Right up there with the New York Football Giants.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah, but still, when I saw it, I was like, whoa, Ryback's back in his face again. It's like, did I enter a time warp?
It sure felt like 2012, back when Feed Me More chants were as loud as the Yes chants, and they still turned him.
Oh. My first thought was when I heard Feed Me More and I saw the look on Bo Dallas's face, I instantly thought of Jim Ross. What Jim Ross would have said at that moment. It's like, I bet Bo Dallas wishes he was wearing dark colored tights right now.
I had heard that, you know, we had talked last show that, you know, Ryback was ready to come back, and I actually kind of hoped it was going to be Ryback. This is not revisionist history. I was like, okay, can Ryback come out here and kill Bo Dallas for me? But the sad thing is that they did an interview with Ryback that aired on the network and maybe on the app, but not on TV, where Ryback explained himself and showed us some tremendous remorse. You know, that's not who I want to be. I mean, his voice cracked a couple of times. And yeah, that's my weakness. Big guy's crying. Except Big Show, he's done it too many times. Mm-hmm. But
now, where do you put Ryback? Do you put him against Rusev? Do you put him in the title hunt against Lesnar? Where do you put him?
Right now, you know, if the response that he got Monday night when he killed Dallas and the response that he got Tuesday night when he killed Slater, he could easily walk back into the B-belt picture, which he doesn't need, place where he doesn't need to be, since the B-belts are both on faces. And you mentioned Rusev. Actually, Rusev has his new feud, and one that we mentioned, that he's going to go after Sheamus and take the U.S. title away from the pathetic Americans. And Lana even threatened to take it back to Russia and present it to Putin as a gift.
And beautiful. And you want to know something? I hope Rusev gets it. I hope they put it on him. And it would be the ultimate in heel heat right now.
Oh, absolutely.
It would be nuclear hot to have the ravishing, to have the Russian do it, you know?
I don't know why, but I instantly had a thought just then of Rusev's going to win this title, and then we're going to see John Cena versus Rusev for the U.S. title. It's like, shit.
I'm okay with that. That gets him away from the world title picture, and they're not going to do a two-belt holder right now with so few belts.
This is true.
Let's see. Ah. Now, I mentioned earlier about Ziggler getting killed because he talked to John Cena. The Authority is essentially leaning on Cena saying, you know, you could be in line with us. This would be so much easier if you just worked with us. And VRM, Cena's not an anti-hero. Cena's about as corporate as it freaking gets without a suit.
Yeah, but apparently he plays by his own rules. And when it comes to whether it is like, of course, his usual champion, I don't care whether they love me or hate me, I'm here for them, not to please you.
So, that's okay. They don't mind. You can stay and please all these people, because then they're happy that you're happy, and then they'll buy your merchandise, and we get to keep the money. Oh, my aching suspension of disbelief!
Bullshit!
Yeah, I know. No, yeah! Cena, okay, look. If you want a company guy, Cena is it. There's no way you could paint him as anti-authority when he's the most corporate kiss-up suck-ass in the moment. If for real.
I mean, we have... Yeah, we've got...
He'll do anything for the company.
Right. We got an anti-hero over here.
After that, what I'm going to do next, I can't even say on this show.
Hello? Guy who, you know, who doesn't even listen to the voices in his own head.
And he's got a lot of this.
Double entendre.
Yeah. Yes, that does work both ways. You're absolutely right. Between the chaos and the titties. There's your anti-hero. Cena is, like I said, he's as corporate as they come without a suit. Okay, let me put this to the table, and I'll start with you, Shane. Team Cena versus Team Authority at Survivor Series. If Team Cena wins, what do we get? All they're going to, you know, logically, and I realize this is wrestling, so this, you know, logic doesn't really work here. The Authority had just come down even harder on them.
It's just, the whole thing just doesn't make a bloody sense. So it's just, let's be honest, it's a filler. It's a filler for the fact that, once again, their World Heavyweight Champion will not be competing at a friggin' pay-per-view. But I don't know. If you're going to do anything with it, I guess, if you wanted to make things interesting, What, five men on the team, correct?
Should be five.
Yeah, it'd be a five-man team. I'd say winning team gets a shot at whatever titles they see fit. I don't know.
But we're trying to figure out who Team Authority is. I mean, two Cena and Team Authority. It's going to be Cena, Orton, Ziggler, Ambrose, and who else?
No, I don't think Ambrose. Ambrose is going to get his. I think Ambrose.
It'll be Ambrose versus Wyatt at Survivor Series.
So Ambrose and Bray are going to be off in their own on their own little planet.
They're going to have a feud that's going to last through the Rumble, I think.
It'll be Cena, Orton, Ziggler, and the Usos versus friggin'
Rollins,
Seth Rollins, Kane. Possibly a returning Triple H and Golden Stardust, maybe.
Well, okay. Here's the fun question mark that I saw on SmackDown tonight. Miz essentially reached out with both lips and kissed the Authority's ass to say, "I'm available." Sandow also commented he was available, to Mrs. Disdain. So, okay. Cena, Ziggler, Orton.
Oh, I know where she's going with this.
I can't help it. Cena, Orton, Ziggler, Big Show, and Sandow versus Rollins, Kane, Miz, and the Dusts.
Well,
or if they don't do the Dusts, then it'd be Mark Henry and who did I miss? Cesaro for the quick elimination.
Right, I imagine Henry's show is going to be a feud.
I'm sorry, I was going to add some Dufosity in there. It would have been too hard to resist, but just to have the Authority pissing off all the number threes, just be like Stephanie McMahon coming in and being like, "I find this man very inspirational. I mean, you've got to have a look at him. I'm a true believer. He's going to be on Team Authority." It's like, nope, please, just no.
Even Hunter would shoot that down. He'd say, I will go out there and wrestle before we put Bo Dallas on the team.
I'll wrestle before Bo Dallas comes on. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's where I thought it was going anyways. I thought we were just going to see pretty much like a restart of maybe Triple H Cena again. Well, that's where I thought it was going, but
no, and I don't think Hunter's going to be hitting the ring anytime soon, since this was handed to me earlier in the show, and I'm going to read this because it means a great deal to me, and I know I've got sports guys here on the show. It should mean a lot to you. That the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, is now part of the board of directors for Sports Legacy.
Oh! Holy shit.
Oh, ho, ho.
And he wasn't appointed. He was elected.
Oh, I'm sure Nowinski had something to do with it, but, you know, I'm not. So, let's see. At WWE, when he is not performing as WWE superstar Triple H. Levesque is responsible for overseeing the talent relations and talent development departments, the training of WWE superstars and divas, and the management of worldwide recruitment and live global events. He also plays an integral role behind the scenes as a director and producer working to shape the creative direction and storylines of WWE's programming. Nowinski was happy to welcome him and said, and I quote, "As an athlete himself, he's familiar with the risks associated with concussions. As an executive, he has made it a priority to protect WWE's performers through education and awareness, as well as preventative measures and world-class medical care. Something that Vince McMahon couldn't quite wrap his brain around." Hunter's response is, "This work benefits athletes of all ages and skill levels, from high school to collegiate to professional sports, as well as many others, including members of our military." That's some good corporate shill in there, Doc. Since he's also oversees the wellness program and professional development. Let's see, cardiovascular. Is he talking about the wellness program? Let's see. They do the impact testing for concussions, which is a baseline. There are a lot of other things they can do to test when it comes to a concussion. But this is huge.
You cannot stress how big this is. You can't. I mean, we're going to try, but you can't.
Viram, the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, was the first guy to say, give those recruits some helmets, so once they learn how to bump, they won't hit their head on the mat. This is the same evil boss who oversaw a WWE that stopped swinging chairs at people's heads.
No more unprotected chair shots, curtailing headbutts. This is, in a way, I think we consider it a take that to the NFL.
This is a huge take that to the NFL, because the NFL does not sponsor, contribute, or even talk to sports legacy anymore, that I'm aware. If I recall what I read in League of Denial, they built a new panel of yes doctors to keep their money stream going.
But again, the WWE, with this and their domestic violence policy, which they did last week, like you said, a big double bird, a big double fuck you to the NFL. That's right. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Now I have this I have this image of the evil boss standing on the roof of Titan Towers, mooning ESPN. And Sean standing right next to him, going, no, you shouldn't. Hunter, you really shouldn't do that. Oh, come on, Sean. You'd been right next to me 10 years ago. I don't have that nice looking of an ass anyway.
How far is Bristol from? I think that's pretty far from Bristol to Stanford, though.
But the message is there.
Yes.
The message
actually, which way is he mooning? Is he mooning north to Bristol, or is he going full frontal and saying suck it to wherever NFL headquarters is in New York?
Well, you don't mess with New York, period. Right, Jason?
No, you don't mess with New Yorkers, period. But the deal is this, okay? I I know that you could say they bought in with the grant of the $1.2 million to fund the research, but to have Levesque on the board of directors on Chris Nowinski's foundation basically tells every other Fed, that includes Ring of Honor, TNA, and whatever, you got to change. You got to move. You got to, you know, you got to do it. You got to change.
We need to drag this carny industry into the 21st century. We have to start saving the independent scene's life. J.C. Bailey didn't have to die for this business.
All the independent wrestlers who are busting their ass for $20 a night in garbage feds with no insurance and no protection needs to be changed.
This whole industry needs that change. And Hunter has pretty much put his big boot down and said, you know what? I'm going to make a change. This is a business. This is an industry. I'm going to run it like an industry.
Oh, definitely. Like I've said, you can hate Triple H, your character, but Paul Levesque, the man, I mean, Jesus, this guy is doing so much for wrestling. It is insane. I mean, and now just to top this off to his already great credits that he's already got to his name, like NXT and the Performance Center and everything else. I mean, I can guarantee you, when Vince McMahon does retire or step down, I don't have any worries about WWE's future at all.
Mm-mm. No, Hunter has got this all figured out. That the cerebral and cerebral assassin is real. And every single number three needs to shut up. This man is going to save this industry that you supposedly love and hate at the same time. If you ever meet the boss, if you ever meet the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, I had that honor in 2006, no, 2005. Yeah, 05. When his book came out. You ever meet this man, you shake his hand, you look him square in the eye, and you thank him. And don't bring up Katie Vick, please.
Oh, you can bring up Katie Vick with him. He loves having a laugh about that. I mean, he publicly went on radio and had a laugh of it, saying, "Yeah, there was a funny story that actually happened. There was actually a funeral happening next door."
That is true.
That is true.
I have heard this. I've heard this interview.
And the priest actually walked in while I was on top of the dummy, and I'm just standing there in my purple thong, like.
Oh my goodness! Only in the wrestling business, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously.
No, I definitely agree with you, Nikki. If you go up to... I would gladly shake that man's hand to think if this man was put in charge, and this might be a big call to make, but if this man was put in charge, we might not have had such serious head injuries that led to all these early deaths and everything else in the wrestling business.
I think it sunk in for him with Eddie, and it sunk in for the rest of the world in 2007.
I also think it happened also when he had kids. When he had kids, he wanted to remember them. And he wants his wrestlers to remember the families and not go through all the things that all the older wrestlers have to go through.
Right. And you can go as recent as Mick Foley. Mick doesn't remember half of that epic Hell in a Cell match that we praise. He doesn't remember half of that. He had to go watch it. And he still hasn't figured out how that tooth ended up through his nose.
You even had Taker have a traumatic event in that exact same cell. When you listen to the interview, he said he had an out of body experience when he chucked Mick Foley off the cell. I was like, he was actually looking at him, watching the thing go down. I was like, oh. Like, nope. And people say that Hell in a Cell does not change a person. Why don't you try getting chucked off a 15-foot-high cell and see how you go?
And to which the number threes would say that Ambrose and Rollins chickened out and dropped only from about 10 feet.
Oh, jeez.
They still did the spot. It was like, granted, it was only about the side. Basically, they did a ladder spot.
Yeah, it was beautiful and a wonderful tribute, kind of a thank you, Foley, for, you know, for what you did.
There was so much. There was like a lot of callbacks in that match. We had the table spot, fighting on top of the cage. Even Wyatt's entrance and return stunk of. And I'm not saying that it's a bad stench, but it stunk of Kane and his entrance in the 97 Hell in a Cell at Bad Blood.
Yeah.
It was.
And to this, we didn't have Vince McMahon screaming, "That's got to be Wyatt. That's got to be Wyatt." We actually had a question when the lights went out. At first, you know, you think, you know, oh, shit, the Authority's going to pull something. Then you hear the weird chanting. So I had three or four things going through my head, Shane. I actually thought the Ascension for a second.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of it. Like, I know you were talking about continuity. I was thinking, holy crap, is Undertaker actually about to finally take his revenge on S.H.I.E.L.D. members? What the hell? But
actually, that had blown the roof off the building.
Oh, God. There would have been nothing left of the building. It would have blown the roof and most of the walls off.
Yeah, and then you see the spotlight, and then you see the lantern in the ring. I'm like, oh shit, it's Wyatt. And then there's smoke. I'm like, this doesn't seem like a typical Wyatt entrance, but okay, I'll go with it. Let's roll with it.
Yeah,
and it was awesome.
That's gotta be Wyatt. Anyway, I had to say it. What else
then you see some crazy female come out. That must be Sister Abigail. That's gotta be Sister Abigail.
Please stop that. I honestly do not want any diva to get stuck with that role. I want Sister Abigail to be that figment of everybody's imagination that only Wyatt knows what she looks like. And we can all have creepy dreams about it. Mm-hmm. Speaking of callbacks, I'm going to just throw this out here real quick. You know how last week they promoted See No Evil 2 with Dean Ambrose sitting there eating popcorn and watching the movie as supposedly match prep?
Yeah.
We actually got two callbacks on SmackDown. Rowan is sitting by himself on that same big black couch in the back, watching See No Evil 2. Still is a statue. But after a few seconds, they zoom out and Kane is standing there. Looks at the TV, smirks, and then has a seat. And the first thing that went through my head was, so, how was your week? And by God, they topped me.
And they said nothing.
No
word.
No, something was said. Rowan just carefully went to the sheep mask, pulled it up, turned to Kane, said, "You scared me." And then put the mask back down and went back to watching the movie.
Wait. Did Rowan put the mask on and say that and then take the mask back off?
No, he took the mask off to say it and then put it back on. He had been watching the movie with the mask on.
Oh my god.
It's brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant.
Now I have to watch the full SmackDown.
Some other names and faces we need to talk about. Just real quick. Roman Reigns had another interview and is still not quite clicking.
I'll agree with that to some point. I thought this one was a step up from his first one that he did. But he definitely needs more emotion behind it, because it just seems like going through the motion at the moment.
At least it didn't sound like he was reading this time.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, at least it was a step up, but it just needs that extra drive.
So for the emotion stuff, he should go see Daniel Bryan, who got to practice his yes, yes, yes in honor of the San Francisco baseball Giants. I know, wrong show, but...
Get well soon. Yeah, we'll talk about that in plugs, but yes.
So that wasn't Daniel Bryan I saw on SmackDown? Damn. Oh, so it was Brie Bella. Okay, my bad. Sorry.
For those of you that didn't watch. Yes, but regardless, you still saw Daniel Bryan's beard.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
She had to go there.
If I didn't, I know one of you guys would have. I do want to say this. Who posted the picture of Brian in the NAWC thread of him doing the yes, yes, yes?
Let me look.
I think it
was Jim.
Was it?
Okay. I want to point out, you know, there was a comment, you know, the number threes are like, oh, there's nothing wrong with his elbow. Look what he's doing with his arms. Yeah, I can see the size difference in his arms. It's not Paul Orndorff severe, but I could see it.
Let me take a look again.
Oh, yeah.
Now, which arm are you talking? Let me take a look at the picture again, because...
Yeah.
Look at his right arm compared to his left.
I can't tell.
I can.
You can, Jason? I can see it pretty clearly. Look around the... Just focus on the elbows. Like, ignore everything else. Just focus on the elbow joints.
Oh, my God.
Better yet, look at the bicep.
Yeah, one is yeah, and the other is not so much.
Yeah.
Meaning he can't lift weights.
Yeah. Meaning that Tommy John surgery needs to get going, because... Brian is definitely a no for 2015 at this rate.
Yeah,
if at all from what we're hearing, it's like
he's still a huge question mark. It's still a giant question mark if he'll even be back.
Of course we want him back. But let me play this scenario out for you.
Okay,
let's say for argument's sake, he does not come back. That his arm is so bad that he... How do you use him in the WWE?
There's this little building in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a building in Orlando that will be happy to use him.
Yep.
And speaking of guys in Orlando, one of them actually came in. And I got to play this right.
Time once again for a trip to the WWE Random Name Generator. Here's Nikki Heyman.
So they said they pointed him towards the wheel, towards the machine, and it started going. And then he said, now, wait a minute. Uh-uh. Can I at least, can I call an audible here? And they're like, but everybody goes through the name generator. No, you told, I saw what you did with Kenta. I've got an idea. Just let me just run this one by you. Just call me Kevin Owens.
I like it.
And they're like, what in the world is a name like that? It's a tribute, man. My son's named Owen. And there's another very famous Owen that everybody remembers. And they all looked at each other and said, okay. And they turned the machine off.
But not before it landed on $700 in a spin.
Nice.
But no whammies for Steen. We have his new name, and Kill Owens Kill just doesn't roll off the tongue, VRM. Doesn't work as well.
Well, are you there, VRM?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't watch the indie and Ring of Honor, so it's like I don't know.
Okay, sorry. So for the Ring of Honor fans, Kill Owens Kill is probably not going to show up on a T-shirt. It just doesn't roll off the tongue the same way, and this is a PG show. You can't kill people. Usually. So, what else have I got? Somebody we're not going to be seeing in WWE programming anytime soon, except maybe in a suit, ranting and raving on a microphone, would be Big Dave.
Ah, yes. Big Dave's very happy and very effing rich. Seriously.
Dave is comparing bank with Rock right now because Marvel Studios said, hey, Guardians of the Galaxy was awesome. You want to do a sequel? Sure. And your character's awesome. Can we stick you in one of the Avenger movies? Sure.
If there's someone who knows how to do superhero movies, it's everybody in charge of Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And even if Dave is close to 50, he's built like a freaking superhero. Just grow your hair back, man. It makes you look 10 years younger. Anyway, but yeah, Dave's going to be busy. He's got movies on his mind and his mind on his money.
And Roxanne, just get a good financial planner.
Yeah. Hey, I know a good financial planner. Let me introduce you to my wife.
Yeah, which is crazy. That is the craziest effed up story ever.
So, no, the craziest effed up story ever right now is about royalties.
Pay attention to me!
Oh. yeah.
In the eternal back behind the scenes struggle with CM Punk and the WWE, at least they finally figured out, okay, we'll do the royalties on your merch and we'll go ahead and put some stuff back out, which is pretty much, as far as I can tell, and I haven't dug real deep on WWE shop, guys, but it was whatever was left. So it's not like they're going to be making new merch. Even though I see more Punk merch in the crowd sometimes than Cena merch.
yeah.
Shane Punk got some money out of this finally.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good to see. Although I found it, I was one of the biggest voices when it first came out, saying I can't. It's so bloody stupid. The fact they got upset about it, but and then WWE obviously got a bit of payback, cutting his marketing prices. But it seems like they've worked out some sort of deal now. I have no idea. But honestly, Nikki, are you surprised Punk merch is selling more than Cena? Come on now.
Well, see, but here's the thing. WWE got him his merch royalties pretty much backdating through the last 6 months. And WWE still wins because they're not going to make anything new. Or loses in the fact that they are costing themselves money because they don't want to pay CM Punk.
Which leads into an interesting transition, I think.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Q3 earnings reports.
Yeah, and some network stuff that I need to throw out there real quick. I'm going to go around the table before I even start throwing numbers around. Shane, from all that you've seen, heard, and paid, when it comes to the network, do you think it's succeeding or failing?
Well, I personally haven't paid for the network myself.
So. You haven't put out your 11:45 Australian.
No, I have not.
Okay.
I'm already pissed off about the fact I have to put in 33:45 just so I can get Paige on my WWE 2K15. Damn it! But no, I think the network is great. I don't know why so many people aren't going into it. I think it's because of the certain quality and some stuff that certain people are getting. But I personally think it's going well, but the numbers just aren't showing.
Jason, your thoughts. Success or failure with the network?
I honestly think it's a success and people don't get it. And I'll explain to you why, but in a different format, okay? Do you remember, let's see, a couple weeks ago when CBS said that they're going to do their own streaming service? And mm-hmm. That same day, HBO said that we're going to do our streaming service, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the WWE was such a fucking failure, why would these networks do what they were doing? I'm telling you, the WWE is going to get credit yet again for starting to make the a la carte channel thing happen, and they will never get the credit for it. So, yes, it's a success. Oh, were there bumps in the road? Yeah. Should Vince have shut his fucking mouth? Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Oh, no. I know what you mean. VRM, your thought.
From a technical aspect, it is definitely a success. And MLB Advanced Media is probably going to be getting offers from their own parents to do more streaming and get a little better on their end. Financially, it's mixed because, I mean, we had a botched rollout in Canada. UK is just... It's like the real test is going to come, I think, Monday, when when the UK rollout begins and people are paying £5, right? Would that be the right? Would that be the right?
I'd have to do a little digging on that. The fact that the UK launch is a month late. Hopefully that month was well spent in making sure this doesn't blow up. But knowing that they've got 750,000 subscribers right now, roughly, but they've only gotten another 20,000 or so in all of the from all of the other countries. They put up their numbers for pay-per-views. Let me see if I can find that.
The main number is that they reported a 1 cent loss per share. I think I'm reading it right. A 1 cent loss per share compared to a predicted 17 cent loss per share.
And they're hedging their bets by changing the formula a little bit, which they did not shut up about on SmackDown. I mean, this was WWE app level shilling. Justified, but man, call the match, please. For the month of November, if you are a new subscriber, you get your first 30 days for free, which means you get Survivor Series for free. They have also gone full-blown with the a la carte that you can pay $9.99 a month with no actual commitment.
Which is what they should have done in the first place.
I agree. The $14.99 a month a la carte was not going to fly. People would say, why would we do that? Because unfortunately, wrestling fans are a bunch of cheap bastards, and we know it. We are.
I know we are. Yeah.
We are. So, you know, this is another, you know, dangling a new carrot might get us a few more subscribers, but you know, they'll get their bumps around the big four. And that's something that at least that they'll be able to measure a little bit, even though they can't reflect it when they talk about pay-per-view numbers.
Buy rates. We got buy rates.
That's what I was looking that up. Money in the Bank had 99,000 buys. Of course, this is post-network, so that's still huge, given how many people were watching it on regular networks, or watching it on the network, sorry. SummerSlam still got almost 150,000 buys for the suckers, and I'm going to say suckers, who are still going through cable or satellite. Or maybe they just don't have the internet strength to handle what the network, how the network delivers. I don't know. Night of Champions, 48,000 buys, which is about a third of what they got last year. But again, network.
Now I have a question, though, Nick.
Okay.
What does the network have to do to make it a must buy? Okay, because while pay-per-views are good at $9.99, it's awesome. By the way, I'm not saying it's not.
Right.
But the vault's good, but they don't have enough original programming, do they?
No, and they need more. And that's hard to do given that your guys are already on the road 300 days a year. This is a good place to get the legends on the show, to do not do Legends House per se. Monday Night War is a great step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
It even if it is slightly biased.
Slightly. Yes.
History is written by the winners.
Yeah.
But we still get some insights of the goings on. I'll include the most recent episode where they talk about Chris Jericho. Where he really didn't give a flying whatever when it came to WCW and wasn't doing what they wanted him to do. He gets a chance to jump to WWE, gets this awesome, forever memorable debut, and then for 2 years. So Monday Night War is a good thing. They've been trying to, they've been doing a good thing in luring people by saying, hey, come take a look at this that we're going to show on the network after Raw, after SmackDown. Doesn't work for the DVR crowd, though.
Right. And also a couple of other things that have been really good. The Daniel Bryan WrestleMania Week special was excellent. The Shield SummerSlam special. Oh, and by the way, a little thing called NXT.
NXT alone should be getting people to put the money down. And hopefully some people take advantage of their 30-day trial to watch some NXT, and then when December rolls around and they hear that there's another live show coming, oh hell yeah, I'll pay $9.99 to watch Zayn and Neville go at it. You know, Bailey's adorable. We're just, we're ready to watch her hug. I double dog dare Kappa Ame, regardless of whether or not Taker as a trainer at NXT is true or not, to see if Bailey can hug him. Just want to see it. So I think I've beaten everything up that I've gotten on my list. Oh well, if you're watching the show, you know we've definitely probably missed stuff, but you watch the show and I don't have to recap. Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault.
So, there you go.
So I think I'm going to call it a show. But before we go, Shane, I'm going to ask you first, because usually you don't have anything to plug, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
No, I don't have anything to plug, except there's some bad news heading my way, which is a bad storm coming in, so I've got to get going.
Run, run, man, run. We understand. VRM.
Yes.
Do you have anything to promote?
Unfortunately, no, because I have not been able to.
you've had just as much trouble putting a table together as I have.
Yeah.
Jason?
Yes, ma'am.
Shill?
With pleasure. Last night, we recorded the World Series wrap-up edition of Touch 'Em All with Jason Hernandez, DC Lungberg, and Jim Williams before his surgery. We talked about the incredible run of the Giants and the Royals. And we talked about what is in the future for them. Can we use the D word? And we're not talking, douchebaggery. We're talking dynasty. And we're going to have some hot stove additions in about a month or so. With the whole managerial carousel, free agency, and all that stuff, but you gotta give it up. I don't know if you do, and this is a little bit biased here. Touch 'Em All is one of the best podcasts on this network. Period. Jim puts a hell of a lot of stuff together, and we have a great team working there. So just awesome stuff. Um, BS Big Show recorded on Wednesday. Oh, you want to do that one. Okay.
Oh, hi, Muckamuck.
Oh, hi.
So, well,
didn't fall
okay.
asleep yet.
Oh, okay. I was just checking. Pixel Nation will be recording a couple of special episodes. Hopefully this weekend we're going to talk about scary games in the video game world, like Resident Evil, Eternal Darkness, and Silent Hill, and other stuff like maybe Gabriel Knight and Phantasmagoria and all that good stuff. We also, in a couple of weeks, are going to talk about the year anniversary of the PS4 versus the Xbox One. Who's ahead? Who's behind? What do they need to do? All that good stuff. Right now, and just a little warning for those people who downloaded the PS4 2.0 edition of the software. What happens is that if you use the rest mode, you get bricked. So it's not good. So at the moment, till they get a patch up. For that, of course, all the other stuff like WLTI Live, Red State, Blue State, and hopefully Red State, Blue State will be on this Tuesday covering the elections that are going to go around. Because we've got a big election coming around, and there's going to be a lot of stuff happening there. So, and of course, you can hear it on Stitcher Radio, Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, and TuneIn Radio, all at the Google Play or Android Apple Store. Mr. Muckety Muck, talk about football, shall we?
Yeah, probably the shortest episode we ever did. It was just you, me, and Jim last 2 nights ago. We recapped week 8 and
after the World Series.
Yeah, we recapped week 8 and we got ready for week 9. Would turn out to be I don't know if you want to call it a defining game for the Saints last night or not. But we talked about that. We had a play the percentages that went like maybe what 2 minutes, Jason.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because we were so tired. It was awful.
Yeah, like I am now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
but yeah, BS Big Show is up on us this podcast website. So there you go.
And in case you can't get it through any of those other channels, remember that the Freaking Awesome Network is always available for your NAWC needs. And check out a lot of the other materials that they have there, including the insanity of the forums. I also want to give a shout out. Our intro tonight was supplied by a wrestler out of the Indiana area, the retired diehard Dustin Lee, part of the Naptown Dragons, which also had a rather infamous character with them. This guy that just grins from ear to ear even when he's covered with blood. He's a ref somewhere. And he looks much younger in stripes.
Yes.
But take a peek at facebook.com/diehard Dustin Lee and check out his new mini album, which is Halloween themed, with not only just the caveat, but horror stories in rap form. And I don't believe he's wrestling anymore. But he and his boys, him and Drake and Scotty Vortex, were some of the coolest guys I got to shake hands and talk to in Cincinnati, in Indiana. So kudos to him. I hope this is a promising second career for him. My other plug for myself, me and Chris Waters will be continuing our paper review series on tindeck.com/cmwaters. We are going to be doing another Saturday night's main event, and we will shortly be doing Starcade 86. It's not a riff tracks. We compare then with today. With little things like a young Roddy Piper is Dean Ambrose. And NWA has one referee that doesn't know how to dress. So that'll do it for me. So for myself, for our Fizzleweight champion, Chief High Muckety Muck, Carl Chenier, for Jason Block, for the already departed Bad News Beeman, for VRM, my name is Nikki Heyman. I hope you had a good Halloween, and I hope that the North American Wrestling Connection was a part of it. Have a good night, folks. end.